We're a desperate team that want to get back to playing finals footy.
Just try and enjoy the journey because it won't be there forever.
We're just trying to build respect and trying to change the perception around Melbourne Football Club.
Yeah, this is just an absolute gift showing us where we need to work on.
Best didn't get us the win, but all we can ask is to bring out the best we can bring.
Thinking, what have I done? You know, how did it happen?
You don't just give kids games because they're high draft picks. That's as simple as that.
Your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Yes, welcome one, welcome all. And this is the biggest sanctum of them all at the moment because we get to chat to the undefeated D's skipper, Max Gorn, who joins us again live from Casey Fields. Good morning, Max.
Good morning, Half. Morning, Whitey. Live from Casey Fields. I'm the first one in. I do the 7 o'clock slot with you guys, so I make sure I'm not driving. So I get in nice and early. So I'm the only one here today.
Well, I can hear the birds chirping. They're up and about. They're pretty keen to see you, the birds.
Yeah, they are here as well, the birds. There's a few flying over my head currently.
You do realise you're never getting back into the city. If you keep winning, you're out at Casey Fields forever.
Well, I did say, Whitey, that this ground might have something to do with it. The Gosh's paddock is literally a postage stamp, so being able to get out on the bigger ground has certainly helped us being able to defend and obviously make the MCG a bit of a fortress again. We've won a few in a row there now.
I think that's a great point, and perhaps understated. It is basically just a little paddock, Gosh's paddock, and it's nowhere near the size of a AFL venue across the nation. I have no doubt, Max, that that's played a part in it and given you a chance to see what big field defence looks like, how to attack on the back of it, all that stuff, and work your systems much better. It's probably a story that hasn't been told that well, I imagine.
Yeah, but in fairness, Collingwood used it throughout their 2010-11 sort of period, so they managed to be able to have some success with it. But
sugar, that was a sugar hit. Look at them now. Look at them now, Max. Sugar hit.
It certainly helped us being able to defend the ground. And we were struggling at the MCG for a bit there. To be fair, in 2019, we were struggling at every ground. But we definitely were struggling at the G, but we've certainly made that a bit of a fortress again for us.
My word, you have. We'll get to more of that. Just paint the picture for us. What are you currently doing? You're sitting in the car in the grandstand. What are you doing?
No, I'm on the other side of the ground to the headquarters.
Yep.
I've gone for a little bit of a walk. This is actually called the Gorn Wing. I won a VFL Best and Fairest in 2014, and this was the wing that I did it mostly on.
Is that where the wind blows?
Yeah, I'm sure you've been out here half. The wind certainly blows to one side down here at the fields.
My word, it does.
Hey, Max, you're 9 games into a season. Just tell us a bit about your own body. How are you feeling at the moment? 9 games in, nearly the halfway point of the season. Obviously, the team's flying. We'll get to that shortly. But how do you feel after 9 games?
I'm really good, half. Sorry, Whitey. I haven't had any sort of issues. A couple of bruises here and there, as a ruckman tends to have. But these last few weeks have been, albeit a little bit easier for me just because we've got an extra tall in the team and we're playing 3 tall forwards and 3 tall defenders. So I'm not required in a few down-the-line contests where you tend to get the bruises from. And I can just focus on my ruck work, especially in the week just gone of no Luke Jackson. I was just really another midfielder on the weekend.
Yeah, it's interesting because, particularly the role you play, 9 games in, I was just wondering whether you were, it was harder to get out of bed or harder to sort of get yourself going at training. Is it helping the fact that you're winning, that the mood is better and everyone's sort of walking on top of the ground?
I'm sure subconsciously your body wakes up a little bit better post a win. I haven't noticed it too much. I tend to pull up well from games, and like last year with the 4-day, 5-day breaks, I was pulling up pretty well as well. So I'm not someone who complains about soreness. I tend to, for example, today we'll get out there for a little trot, and there's about usually 5 or 10 blokes every week that tend to not get out there for the run and are complaining about something. I really like to not miss that session.
That's interesting. Midway through the season, things are feeling good. That's a nice thing, but you're right. Winning makes you feel pretty good. How do you handle this now, Max? I'm intrigued as to what happens from here. I mean, everyone is talking about Melbourne. How do you handle that internally? The expectation now comes and it becomes more and more fervent every time you win a game. You might make it 10 this week. Who knows? Hopefully you do. What happens internally about the expectation and managing all that now for every player? Because I imagine with all the commentary and the people in the street and all the family that be asking you questions about how you're going and, you know, can you take it all the way and all that sort of stuff, how do you manage that?
I'm intrigued as well, Huff. I'm excited for what this little period's going to bring. For example, the Sydney game, we lost to Sydney in Cairns last year, which was only about 13 games ago, and they ended up costing us our 2020 season. And so we're still hunting Sydney and knew what they were probably the better side against us in recent history. And MCG, they'd won 7 in a row against us at the MCG. So stuff like that, we're still definitely the hunters.
And, yep.
Carlton, it was a 1-point game against us last year, and again they've had the better of us in the last sort of 3 or 4 years. So there's games like that where we're still definitely the hunters and we're still going in wanting to prove a point. And the Adelaide game last year was similar, so that'll be the same this week as well.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Little boxes to tick along the way do give you an opportunity to narrow the focus. Just on last weekend's game against the Blues, did you feel that it was as polished a performance as you've had, or were you a little bit off what you've been in the last couple of weeks, do you reckon?
Well, still a little bit off in the first half. And these first quarters, we're giving up the first 2 goals in every game. A bit of that is our centre bounce issue that we're trying to work on. The good thing is teams aren't scoring off their centre bounce wins against us, but we'd definitely rather be winning the centre bounces and getting it in our forward half. So that forward half footy was off in the first half, but it certainly came into the second half. And the second half was probably as polished as we played this year. Not necessarily kicking goals, but just restraining them from doing too much of the ball.
I haven't got the numbers in front of me, but you did get comprehensively whacked in the clearances across the ground, minus 15, I think it was, for the game. Is that something that's happened a lot this year? I couldn't imagine that'd be the case. But also, how personally do you take that?
We've lost centre bounces, I know, almost every week, apart from maybe GWS in round 2. So that's an issue that we're trying to rectify. We obviously got some pretty good midfielders in there, and I'm getting my hand to most of them. So we've got to sort out what the issue is and why can't we get the ball playing in our forward half. Around the ground stoppages, we've normally been quite good. It might have just been flipped. I think Cripps was pretty good at his first possession stuff on the weekend and was able to surge it forward. But it's certainly the way we're defending as both midfielders and defenders. We're turning stoppage losses into little wins for us. But ideally, we want to get the ball going forward first rather than having to defend that little surge.
So, Max, how do you rectify that? Is that something you do in the classroom, in theory, or is it something that you can actually do at training despite the fact you don't have opponents? How do you fix that situation?
In the classroom, theory sounds pretty boring, I must say, Waddy. Adam Uze has obviously come in this year, and as much as he's helped our defence and our ball movement, our stoppages has probably gone backwards from where we were last year. Not any fault of his, but it's just something that we got to work on. And Ooze is having a lot of sleepless nights trying to get the best plan and best setups for us to be able to win stoppages. And I've got a pretty heavy hand in that in terms of centre bounces. I take a few centre bounce meetings throughout the week and watch a lot of vision, especially on the teams that do it well. So West Coast and Western Bulldogs are two teams that do it very well and sitting at the pointy end of the ladder. So I watch a lot of their vision, and Western Bulldogs are doing it at the moment without a dominant ruck, and West Coast are doing it with a dominant ruck. So you can do it sort of any way. I'll watch some vision again this week. The Adelaide-West Coast game will be a good one to watch because I like watching the best in West Coast, and we got Crows this week.
Yeah, so do you sense at times that the midfield of the opposition ruck to you, because as you said, often you'll get, most of the time, you'll get your first hand to it, that's something you've got to be aware of as much as trying to actually guide it to your own teammates?
Yeah, and there's also when you lose a couple early, so we lost a couple of clearance battles early in the year against Fremantle, and then in round 3 and 4 against Geelong and Richmond, we lost a couple of clearance battles, and You get on the back foot a little bit, just subconsciously, and you start hitting a little bit more defensively, and you start getting a bit boring and mundane with your centre bounce hits, and it becomes easier to read. And on the weekend, I certainly noticed Cripps just getting to my chest a lot, which is how boring and mundane hit is when I just hit it straight down into my chest. And once we started jazzing it up a little bit, we started getting a bit more from clearances. But it's funny, subconsciously, you get more and more defensive when you're losing clearances, and that actually works against you. So when you've got big bodies like Cripps in there and some other guys that we played this year, like Luke Parker and Josh Kennedy last week, and I'm sure Rory Laird's getting clearances for fun at the moment. So we've got to work out how to hit away from those guys and be able to use our strength in obviously Petraka, James Harms and Clayton Oliver.
So Tomlinson goes down a couple of weeks ago in Hobart, and there were questions about what do the Demons do? Do they move Tom McDonald back? Do they play a different system? What are they doing? All of a sudden, Harrison Petty comes back in and plays that role. Is there a fuss made about that extra player coming in and playing that role? Is it discussed in team meetings about this is what he's going to do? Or is it just the soldier in, soldier out, this is our plan, whoever's playing it knows what they're doing, Max?
A little bit of soldier in, soldier out type mentality. Harry's a very different player to Adam. Harry Petty likes to take marks like Stephen and Jake do. So we've got three guys out there that like to take marks as defenders. And where Adam sort of was happy to let Steve and Jake take it. So there's a little bit of learning to do as those three go on. But obviously, Harry's going to have a lot of time with Adam out for the year. But we've seen him in multiple positions this year. Obviously, Jack Viney's out at the moment.
Yep.
And James Jordan's just come in and had more tackles than Viney's had all year in one game. So he's certainly slipped into that role quite well. So it definitely is a soldier in, soldier out type mentality. And we've seen that with the tall forwards. Luke Jackson goes out and Sam Wiedemann comes in and plays his role.
He's done a great job, Petty, and he's allowing everyone else there to work the mechanics and the mechanisms pretty well in the back half. And you mentioned the big blokes in the forward half. The introduction of Ben Brown in the last couple of weeks, how have you seen it integrate into the way that you want to go moving forward?
It's, from a personal point of view, it's changed my role a tiny bit. As I mentioned from the start, there's now three tall forwards, and I'm probably not needed to go one forward and two to too many marking contests because Tom McDonald's marking almost everything that's coming his way at the moment. Yeah. So it means I can focus on some clearance stuff and some stuff around the ball as well, which is good for me. But I've seen the three of them work really well. Obviously, there's four tools and they're all fit. Well, Luke's fit this week, so it'll be interesting to see what happens in match committee because I don't think you can play four tools, is my gut feel. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. But they're all playing some good footy, and Sam was really good in his first game for the year on the weekend, and Ben was super last week against the Swans, and Tom's been super all year, and Luke's got a Rising Star nomination and probably in the top three or four to take that out.
Now, not surprisingly, I was sort of caught interest in the diet that Tom McDonald's on. Yes. Can you explain a little bit more about what he's doing? Because it's what he's described as a meat diet.
Well, we have three tall forwards that I've just been talking about that are all on quite unique diets, which for one tells me that it doesn't matter what you eat, but you can play in the forward line. So Tom McDonald's all meat. So he'll have steak for breakfast, steak for lunch, steak for dinner. Won't look at veggies, won't look at salads. So that's an interesting diet in itself. And then Ben Brown is complete vegan and celiac. So he's almost the complete opposite.
Total
and Sam Wiedemann's taken after Tom McDonald, and he's full meat as well.
So no veggies or salads at all. It's just meat.
Yeah, just meat. And if he's lucky every now and then, he might put a mac and cheese or something on his plate.
Have you thought about either of these options, the Ben Brown or the Tom McDonald? Have you thought about just taking one on for a bit?
I mean, when I lost all my weight a couple of years ago, I took out carbs, but I thought that's more the generic one. Everyone does that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We've all tried taking out carbs every now and then. I've never tried taking out veggies.
No, that's very interesting.
We've tried for taking out carbs. It hasn't worked either, mate.
So Maxie, you often have a joke about Tom because he's one of the more popular members of the team and all that sort of thing. But I'm really interested, sort of on a serious note, how proud you are of him in what he's been able to do to turn around his form, because it's a lot of it isn't necessarily physical. I mean, he was pretty much down in the dumps and had lost a lot of confidence to become the player he is again this year.
Yeah, he's one of my favourite people in the world, Whitey, and that's probably why I do take the piss out of him a little bit. But his whole mental state's changed this year. So he got obviously told that to go look for somewhere else, and it didn't work out one way or another, but he always knew the door was welcome back if he couldn't. So that was good from the club to let him know that there was always the door open. But he could have just rolled back in and just gone through the motions. But he got himself his own personal trainer, which, to be fair, is the thing to do at the moment. Almost every player has their own PT now over the off season, and got extremely fit, and was doing 200s for fun when we were out here in preseason. He was beating almost everyone by 5 or 6 seconds, and could still blow a candle out. He was in phenomenal shape, and he took that straight into the JLT games, and then now he's starting marking, and his confidence is sky high. But he's also a leader. He's still taking Sam Wiedemann under his wing. For example, the diet, he's got Sam Wiedemann on the same diet as him, and he's still got Luke Jackson there teaching him everything there is about marking patterns. And I'm super proud of him. I knew he had this in him, and I knew 2020 was just a little blip, and we've seen players across the whole league that struggled with the hub, and I think Tom openly probably struggled with the hub, but he's come back at some super nick.
Yeah, it's a great insight. Great insight. And just, you've said this from the start of the year about trying to get the respect of the competition. Do you think you've got that yet, or is it still a work in progress?
I don't think Melbourne's ever going to have the respect of the whole competition. I don't think we've got... Sometimes our fans still, if there's 3 or 4 goals in a row to the opposition team, still have some issues with potentially what we've given in the last 4 or 5 years. So we've got a long way to go in earning respect in the whole competition. But we're certainly, we're earning respect within ourselves, and we know we can match up with the best. We've played Richmond, Geelong, Sydney, teams that are at the pointy end of the ladder, and we've obviously got some big games over the next few weeks as well to be able to earn some more respect. But it's just about continually bringing our brand of football, Whitey, out to the field and playing it for 4 quarters.
And do you feel the mood change? So as the confidence is starting to grow in the group, as you're stringing all these wins together, have you got a role as captain to keep everyone's feet on the ground? Are you embracing the changing mood? What are you doing as a leader? Because it's one of those things, it's almost like you're playing blackjack and you're on a bit of a run, you can't lose. What do you want to change anything? Do you keep it all going? What are you doing internally?
There's been no need to really address it yet. Players are quite level-headed at the moment and knowing that there is a long way to go in the season. I remember in 2013 or 14, I forget what it was, we lost our first 8 games of the year and then beat the Doggies by a point at the MCG. And I carried on for a whole week. I think I was at nightclubs for 3 days straight. And, it's almost a different feeling when you're losing a bit and then you win. When you're winning a bit, it's quite mundane and boring. It's almost we focus on the next game straight away. There's no time to celebrate. So it's a completely different feeling. I'd much rather this version, although the Saturday night was fun post our Doggies game in 2013. I'd much rather this version of just getting back on the horse. And like I said last week in this interview, that we'll talk about Adelaide almost as much as we talk about Carlton today, which is it's probably a good way of doing it.
I don't know. 3 days straight sounds like a good couple of days to me, Max. I don't know. I reckon you've got the wrong system going. But anyway, it's working for you at the moment. It's great to watch. Just interesting you talk about Melbourne supporters, because I've got a few mates who are Melbourne supporters, and you're 100% correct. Even if there's the slightest change in the momentum of a game, against you, they go, oh no, this is the one. They're always in that, and that's through history, that's through time in the game and just things not going right for Melbourne for so long. I mean, it's going to be hard at some stage, I imagine, to not permeate the group a little bit, to start to think, oh bloody hell, we're going alright, but sure, the bad luck's coming. How do you keep that out?
I'll take responsibility for a lot of those Melbourne fans as well. I've been involved in the last 11 years, half, and to be fair, I was a Melbourne supporter those first 6 or 7 years, and I found it quite difficult. So it will be tough, and there will be times where we'll be challenged this year, and we'll most likely lose a game at some point. But it's all about how we keep it the same. So we if we do lose to this week to the Crows, we come in, we review a little bit of Crows, but then we talk about our next week, which I think is Doggies. And we just keep it all the same. We don't react to the result. We react to our process that's been working well.
Is Jack Viney going to play this week?
I got no idea. I haven't seen too much of him. You don't cross paths with the guys in rehab too much. But I always knew that he was targeting the Adelaide game. So, and I haven't heard that he's been set back. I think him and Luke Jackson will both put their hand up this week.
Just more good news for Demons fans as two of the big guns come back in. Before we let you go, though, we buried the lead story. Caleb Ewan out of the Giro across the weekend after winning two out of the three stages leading up to it, Max. What the hell happened to our man?
That was Caleb. Was planning to ride all three Grand Tours this year, which means he can't finish the Giro. He's never going to finish the Giro. He left a little bit earlier than I thought he would, but was clearly the best sprinter. There's not much to like from an Aussie point of view going forward, to be honest. Jai Hindley is probably out of the GC race and no Caleb. So it's actually the Giro is just basically Egan Bernal's just to take for the rest of the 2 weeks.
And stage 11 last night provided a bit of an upset, did it?
Not really. I define an upset. I think Peter Sagan was second favourite, so I'm not sure if it was an upset.
Well, that's not an upset then. But a great result for Peter Sagan eventually. Well done, Max, on your cycling update, and certainly well done on the D's at the moment. It's good to chat, and it's great to watch the Melbourne Footy Club going about their business the way they are. Good luck this week.
Thanks, Arf. Thanks, Whitey.
Good stuff. Maxie Gawn with us at Casey Fields walking laps in the inner sanctum of the Melbourne Football Club. Just lost him a little bit late there.
Yeah.
A bit of delay kick in.
Yeah. Interesting times for Melbourne. Do you address it or do you just let it keep rolling?
Just let it roll. Let it roll.
Because it's the reason I say it is it's so different for them what they're experiencing.
Let it roll. Seems to be working. What they're doing seems to be working pretty well.
Don't change anything for the moment.
And he said if they lose to Adelaide that they'll just go back and assess it and just move on. If they lose to Adelaide, it's boarding house pudding time. That's the only reason they can lose to Adelaide this week, I reckon, at the Adelaide Oval, 4:35. Check your local guide Saturday afternoon. We'll get to a break. Talk more footy after this because Josh Walker